Good evening. Thank you guys for taking time to be together. It's good to be together as the body of Christ. It's important for us to, as we grow in our knowledge of God's word, to grow in our time spent with each other so we can help spur one another on. So a little different this evening. Instead of preaching a whole passage, I just wanted to allow, kind of like we did last month, allow God's word to just kind of teach about a topic, and in particular, to be addressing worry. The struggle that worry is, and how the Bible actually teaches us about a better a better path to peace. And so I think it's easier, rather than talking about the negative side of it, when you talk about worrying, to talk about the positive side of it. And the opposite of worrying is faith, or trust in God. So we're talking about faith that frees us. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus taught about how faith frees us. And obviously we know that faith in Jesus frees us from the penalty of our sins. First of all, Christ died on the cross to make atonement for our sins, to satisfy God's wrath. So faith in Jesus frees us from the penalty of our sins. It frees us from the power of sin having to rule in our lives. God puts his spirit in us so that we start desiring to obey God in ways that we did not formerly. And the great news, too, is that we're going to one day be free from even the presence of sin in our lives, that the old man won't even be there anymore. We're going to be totally set free from sin. So that's what we're headed for. So while faith frees us in all those ways, I just wanted to talk particularly tonight about how faith frees us from being held captive by the care of this life. Faith helps us be freed from being held captive by the cares of this life in order that we might live with a greater care for God's kingdom. We all know what it's like to have competing cares in our life. We divide up our time and our energy into dealing with things that are important. Things we're like, okay, this is first place this week. This is second place this week. Making my wife happy is first place this week, right? Making myself happy is second place this week. You know, no, just but you know, we're used to dividing up our time and energy. We're no strangers to things that fight for our commitment. And Jesus' concern for us as his followers is that the cares of this life, things like needing food and clothing and shelter, making your wife happy or your husband happy, right? Jesus was concerned that the cares of this life would not crowd out a concern for his kingdom. That things like our love for God, our love for fellow Christians, our serving people in Jesus' name, our taking time to actually stop and think for a moment, did I share the gospel with anybody this week in a way that moved them closer to a right relationship with Christ and on the right side of eternity, right? And that Christ's concern for us, he knows us very well, and so he wants to see us not choked out by the cares of this life, but actually fixing our focus on what matters, feeding our faith, that we might seek his kingdom. So I think it'll be up on the slide behind me here. Dave, if you'll, we're going to hear the word of God from Luke chapter 12. And I promise it's going to be brief, not doing a whole message, just a few brief things tonight, but we'll be in Genesis chapter 12, or I'm sorry, in Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. You can just listen along, and at some point, I think it will get up on the screen there. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher," speaking to Christ, "tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And Jesus said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness or greediness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Verse 22, "And he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you're not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Striking words from Christ. It's always humbling to hear his words as a preacher, and I think, wow, Jesus really is truly the prince of preachers. He would have been no one like him to hear preach, but his love for us is such that he wants us to set us free from the cares of this life and help us to focus on his kingdom. So just a couple easy pointers for you. I think there's three things to see from this. Jesus tells us to fix our focus. He tells us to feed our faith and to spend ourselves for his kingdom. Fix our focus, feed our faith, and spend ourselves for his kingdom. You know, often we can end up with an approach to faith in God that is more about these things, the things of this life, than it is the things about God's kingdom, right? So we spend an awful lot amount of time talking to God about food, clothing, shelter, our careers, our immediate concerns. And often our faith becomes lopsided. It's basically just a faith about these things rather than the cares of God's kingdom. And we see that most often when the cares of this life are lacking. Whenever we're lacking food, clothing, shelter, or things aren't working out according to our plan, our faith rises or falls based on temporary things. Some people, when they have everything they want, they're all about God. When they got nothing, when they don't have everything they want, they're like, "Where's God? Where's God now?" Right? Or oftentimes we reveal that we're just greedy for more of these things. That our faith is not actually in God. We're trying to use God to get more things. We reveal that our faith is really just in what we think God can get for us, and if he doesn't get those things for us, we leave him aside. But the test really is, when we don't possess everything we could want, will we continue to trust in Christ, that we have all we need? That forgiveness of sins is greater than an overabundance of food, right? Or that treasure in heaven is greater than an overflowing bank account. That, you know, when you look and you're like, I can't take a vacation, or I'm having trouble paying my bills, do I really believe that God's love for me is still real, that his promises are still true? I think one of a significant one is being able to believe that the promise of being raised from the dead is better than living forever in a world where you're going to continue to get sick and grow ill. And, you know, it can be a challenge to believe that it's going to be better to be raised from the dead with a new body as a follower of Christ than it is for God to just never let me die. He sent Adam and Eve out of the garden because he didn't want them to live forever in that condition, right? So it takes faith. It takes fixing our focus, when we're lacking the things, when we're lacking the cares of this life. But actually, it takes faith, too, when we possess all the things that we want, when we have all the food we could need, when we have an overflowing bank account, when everything's going peachy. The real test of your faith is, do you forget God? Do you forget all about God? And some people go the majority of their lives until a very difficult circumstance, or until faced with something like death. But the real test is, where is our focus, either when we don't have all the things we want or when we do have all the things that we want? And Jesus addresses these cares of this life he doesn't say they're unimportant. God cares about the cares of this life. He says that we can talk to him about those things and that our Father wants to provide the basics for life. But Jesus says those things are not most important. He says your life does not consist in stuff. And I love this guy in Luke chapter 12. He's just a prime example of somebody who needs his focus fixed. Jesus is speaking in a crowd. There's thousands of people there, Luke says. Jesus is teaching about fearing God rather than fearing people. He's talking about being right in God's eyes, not just being right in the eyes of other people. He's talking about don't fear those who kill the body, but not the soul. Believe in me, and you'll have nothing to fear. And the point is, if you fear God, you will need never fear that God will forget you. That's the most freeing thing of all. In the midst of that, this guy interrupts Jesus. I mean, can you imagine interrupting Jesus? But then I think for a moment how often we just interrupt each other. We're just waiting for people to stop talking because we're like, what I have to say is more important. And this guy does that to Jesus. He basically says, yeah, I know you're talking about knowing God right now, but my greater concern is that you get me this money from my brother. I want you to divide this inheritance to me. Kind of like that classmate in school who would raise his hand after the teacher asked a question, and the question he'd ask just revealed he was not paying attention at all to what the teacher was just talking about, right? His focus was elsewhere. And I love Christ's answer. Jesus says, no. He says, I will not settle your money dispute for you. I've got a better plan for your life. Essentially, Jesus said, that's not my job. My job is not to fill your fists with money. My job is to free your fists from money, to get you to let go of trying to grab hold of temporary things and take hold of that which is truly life. Eternal life in Jesus Christ, living for the kingdom of God. I love Peter is a great example. When he's out fishing before Christ calls him, they toil all night, they catch nothing. You're supposed to catch fish in the evening, apparently. I'm not a very good fisherman. I never catch anything when I go. Jesus shows up, says, Peter, why don't you throw your net over the other side of the boat? Peter's an expert fisherman. Peter is he should know everything there is to know about fishing. Jesus is a carpenter. He could say, you don't know anything about fishing, right? And Peter says, we toiled all night, Lord. And then I wonder if Jesus was scowling at him. And he's like, but since you say, we'll throw the net over. And you know what happens? They throw the net over the side of the boat. And the Bible says they pull in more fish than they were able to carry in. And they had to call their partners over to get the boat. And prosperity guys who tell you that God wants you happy, healthy, and wealthy will see that and say, see, if you honor God, he'll give you an overabundance of whatever you could want. That's to totally malign what that passage of Scripture says. Jesus falls to his knees. He says, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I'm in the presence of God, and I have no business being here. But Jesus tells him, don't be afraid, because Christ is our Savior. He's the one who wants us in his presence. He says, from now on, he says, rise, stand on your feet, and from now on, I will make you a fisher of men. I'm not here to prosper your plans. Christ says, I'm here to take you into my plan. And he's changed Peter's focus from just the cares of this life to eternal things, to becoming the founder of the Christian church. So three great dangers to avoid is a misplaced life, number one. Life's not just about these things, but about belonging to God through Jesus Christ. You can just ask, have I sought stuff or have I sought God? Am I only seeking God for stuff that he can provide to me, or am I seeking God for the saving of my soul through Jesus Christ? Am I seeking God for growing in my love for him and love for others, a love for God's kingdom? So that's the first warning, a misplaced life. The other thing, an island's commitment, you know, just as believers being cautious that the cares of this life don't choke out our commitment to Christ's kingdom. Our love for God should inform our handling of all things. And also, I think it's a really strong encouragement. If our life does not really consist in these things, it's helpful because a lot of times we want to misplace our confidence, right? We want to be a witness for Christ, and we think that our faith is a witness most when we have all the possessions we could want. But actually, our faith is the best witness when we don't have everything we want, but we possess Jesus Christ, and we still rejoice. And it's actually even more of a witness when we take the things of this life and spend it for a kingdom that is yet unseen. And that speaks as the most powerful witness. That's how people will see that your focus is not just like theirs, but on something entirely different. And so don't judge your effectiveness or usefulness for the kingdom of God based on your status in the world or the possessions you own. The early church were not people who had everything they wanted or were filled with status. They were poor people who had the riches of Jesus Christ. And so we're here in this room, and we're not rich people. Let's just leave it at that. But we possess the riches of Jesus Christ. We are God's instrument to carry the good news of Christ to others. So we're freed, first by fixing our focus, and just a couple other things. These will be briefer. Jesus helps us next by feeding our faith. I don't know if you guys know it, but I wrestled in middle school and high school. I was terrible at it. You guys hear me? Jerry's laughing at me. You hear me brag all the time about running? Yeah, I could run a mile in 4 minutes and 40 seconds, and I ran 3 miles in 16 and a half minutes. That's pretty good. Man, when I wrestled, I got flattened all the time. My mom used to joke at me after a tournament. She'd say, how many lights are on the ceiling tonight? Because I was on my back the whole time. And I was in the 125-pound weight class. And I couldn't lose any more weight. These bigger guys that would weigh like 140 pounds or 150 pounds, you know, they'd drop all this weight in wrestling. They'd march out on the mat, and man, I'd just get my butt kicked. I at that time, I didn't have laser eye surgery, so I'd take my glasses off, you know. I'm sure guys on the other team were like, easy points. Here it comes, you know. Here comes Lissetto. He couldn't hurt a fly, you know. But I'll tell you, you know, sometimes in the fight to live for Christ's kingdom, if we're honest, you know, we come in and we smile and we talk about how the week's been and everything, but if we're honest, we're just getting outmatched by the cares of this life. The weight of worry is crushing us, and if we're honest, we're like, man, I have not thought at all about Christ's kingdom this week. I've only thought about what I don't have. I've not thought anything about what I do have in Jesus Christ, and I'm finding it hard to wrestle worry to the ground. Worry is getting the better of me right now. And we start with all our reasons for worrying, and we've got good reasons. I mean, it starts from a young age. Your brother or sister makes more allowance than you, and you're worried that they're making more money than you. You don't know why you're worried about it, but you're just worried that they're making more money than you. And your friend gets a job in school, and then you're worried. You're like, I need to get a job in school, because if I don't get a car, you know, I'm not going to be cool, you know. And then you get the job, and then you got the car, and you're like, I'm going to be able to go to college. And it never stops. Will I be able to get a house? Will I be able to keep the house? Will I be able to have kids? Then you get kids, and you're like, am I going to be able to afford to feed these kids? And you pay your bills at the end of the month, which is great. The bills are paid. And then you worry because you got no money left, right? You pay all the bills, and then you're like, I'm broke. I remember at Ruby Tuesday, when I was in between semesters, I had paid off all my place to live for 2 months, and my bank account was down to like $121. I had the next subscription paid, and I was eating French fries out of the fry bowl. And I thought, you know, I could worry, but I have everything's settled up right now, right? But, you know, it goes deeper than that. We just worry about stuff that's uncertain. Right now, we have things that are uncertain that we're having to deal with, things that are just out of our control, things like, you know, they start with simple things, right? Do I have any real friends? What if I don't make the team that I'm hoping I'm trying to get on? You know, will I get married to a good spouse? Am I somebody who's worth marrying? If I have kids, how will my kids turn out? I've seen how my kids will turn out. How am I ever going to get them to turn back to the way that they need to go? What'll happen to me without my spouse? What about my health? What about just the desire to want to do stuff right and not screw up or do anything wrong? What about when I do screw up and I do get some stuff wrong? What about the challenges facing my family? When our reasons to worry step out onto the mat, you have got to have fed your faith long before that moment ever arrives. Otherwise, you're just going to be wrestled to the ground by those things. It's too heavy a weight. So with those reasons to worry, God says my reasons to have faith and to not be anxious are so much better. The reasons to not worry, first of all, and just nine of these real briefly, you know, my life is more than what I own or what I do not own. My faith needs to be considering not just what I've lost, but what has God given to me. If all I think about is what I've lost, I'm thinking that those things are all my life is. And we're walking in unbelief, because it's not. God feeds birds. Number two, he's going to feed me. Number three, worry will not get me one step further, so I shouldn't even waste time worrying, because it doesn't fix anything. Number four, God promises to clothe me more beautifully than flowers in the field. Number five, Jesus said not to seek faith in those things, instead to seek faith in God, who knows I need those things. That was five and six. Number seven, God's given me his kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. Number eight, I can't lose what God's given to me in Jesus. And number nine, I will never be alone. I'll never be without God's help in Jesus Christ, no matter what I'm heading into. It's like that old song. I don't know who sang it. Somebody could tell me, but you know, there ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby, to keep God's love from getting to you. He will be with you wherever you go. That's what God wants to teach us. Not how to make it without him, but he wants to teach us, I will be with you in whatever you're afraid of. And really, that's what other people need to see. They need to see Jesus in us, Jesus with us. You know, a lot of times parents, it's a struggle. You want to get kids, you want to give your kids everything ever that you could ever give them. But I mean, I did not have everything I could ever need growing up. We used to joke, you know, I'd be like, Dad, I want this. He'd be like, Dad, I want that. And my dad would say, I'll make you one. And be like, well, Dad, it's a TV, you know, and that'd be the joke. But what we need to give to one another is Jesus. That's what our kids need. That's what the people around us need more than anything. They need to see Christ in us. So as we worship God, we find that worry will fall away. We can actually swat the opponent of worry away. So make a game plan. You know, identify what is it I worry about? Number two, identify how is it that your worry is manifesting itself? Number three, what is it revealing that what you believe about God? Like, I know what I'm worrying about. I know how it's manifesting itself. But what does it reveal about how I feel about God? That he can't help me? That he doesn't hear me? That my problems are too big? And so fourthly, then, just figure out which promise of God do I need to apply to my life? Do I know what God's made available to me in Jesus? And then understand, okay, now my faith in God, not my fears in life, can be the thing that rules me. Not my fears, but my faith can be what rules me. So faith frees us by fixing our focus, feeding our faith, and just wrap this up by saying Jesus did give us something to do. If you don't want to live choked out by worry and suffocated by the cares of this life, you have to do something. You have to spend yourself for another kingdom. Having been given the best treasure we could ever want, we've also discovered this is something we give away. Not worry about holding on to, but something we give away because we'll never lose it. And a faith which sees all that God has given me and that gives it back into God's hands and says, you can do better with this than I can with this. I'm going to use it your way. That's when we're freed from worry. But, you know, spending ourselves can only flow out of knowing God's saving of ourselves. This is not a blind faith. It's a faith that builds, knowing God has saved me from my sin. God will help me with the cares of this life. God wants me to live for the cares of his kingdom. But Jesus asked first, before anything, before calling you to serve him, before calling you to spend yourself for his kingdom, Jesus says, I want to save you into my kingdom. You don't have the resources for this, but Jesus wants to save you and then use you for his kingdom. And as followers of Jesus, if you want a heart that hungers more from God, give more of yourself away to his kingdom, and your heart will follow. If you want to have a growing love for God, give yourself more to the cares of his kingdom and less to the cares of this life, and your heart will follow, and you'll be truly free. So let's pray together and ask that God would help us to do that. Father, it's a profound thing to remember that you're in control of everything, Lord. And here we are on a Sunday evening, and you're keeping the whole world spinning. The sun came up this morning. You've provided food for us here this evening. Truly, Lord, often we have so little faith with the cares of this life. We thank you that you're aware of that and that you care about us. And you say that you care about us more than even the birds. And we pray, Lord, that that small reminder would lead us to a greater reminder of your deep love for us in Jesus Christ, a Savior who shed his own blood for us to take away our sins, and a Savior who cares about us deeply, that we would have a heart that grows more and more attached to him and less attached to greed and coveting things here. So help us to be gripped by your love so that the way we handle the things in our life would be to hand them back to you and to not step out of line, but to keep in step with you, serving you in this kingdom. And we love you, Lord, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.